Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yeah, oh, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast presented by Miller Lite. Shout out to Miller Lite.
Not Miller enough. Lights for Phil's losses.
Yes, buddy. That might have to be what we do this year. We had such success with the Miller Lights for Phil's wins last year, getting the spreading awareness of Miller Lite and how great it is. And this year, not so many wins to talk about so far. How you doing, pal? Everything's fine, right?
Everything is fine.
I genuinely
believe that they're going to turn this around. I don't, like, they lost 2-3 to the Marlins, and that was annoying.
By the way, shout out to this podcast for telling everyone that Larisa Rise was going to be our least favorite player moving forward. Like, well, did we not nail that one? I mean, could we have nailed that one more?
At least he didn't hit for the cycle or anything.
I know.
At least he didn't do that. But yeah, it's just like, you know, they played decent baseball. Like, there were some frustrating things they did. There's still those dumb little mistakes that they're making. Overall, like, I think they're close to, like, kind of getting everything right. At the beginning of the season, I feel like they got blitzed. Like, they went down to Texas, and it was like, oh, bleep, the Rangers, like, really cared this year.
Yeah.
And then they went to New York, and the Yankees are a good team. My biggest fear, though, is that, like, you know, I thought they played better, but now it's like, but it was better to beat the Reds and Marlins, who are not the
to just and not even beat the Marlins.
They're not the benchmark.
No.
Like, they're not the benchmark. And, and yesterday was a coin flip. The game they lost 8-3, I believe, was a coin flip.
Yeah.
We don't round first base and thinking we can go to second base for what reason, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just like we've said it a lot this year, but with the Harper injury, the Hoskins injury, Ranger, Painter, and where they are with that, they can't afford to have the bad base running.
Yep.
They can't afford pitchers not coming in and doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford, like, Zach Wheeler is their first starter to go into the sixth inning this year.
Unbelievable. That is astounding.
It's terrible.
I mean, think about it this way. Like, definitively, through two turns and plus a little through the rotation, Matt Strom has easily been the best starter. The guy who was not supposed to be in the starting rotation has easily been their best starter.
And someone who's not going to be in the rotation.
Yeah, like, he's going to go back to the bat.
When Ranger's back, Matt Strom is not going to be in the rotation.
Yeah, and Rob Thompson said it on the morning show yesterday.
And I know that's viewed as like, well, how could they do that? It's like, well, look at his stuff. I mean, do you think Bailey Falter can go to the bullpen and be
a
situational lefty?
What do you see? There's no other option. Yes, that's like, what it is.
And I do think Strom to the bullpen is really going to help at this point. I mean,
it's massive.
I mean, look at the game yesterday. I mean,
it was exactly.
And rather than having to put in, like, so Rob Thompson said after the game, like, his big fear was that they got Alvarado hot in the fifth, and they don't want to have him sit down and then come out and sit for a couple innings and then get hot again. So that's why he faced that portion of the lineup rather than waiting till the eighth to face the better portion of the lineup.
My issue is more bringing him back out again.
Right.
I mean, that is a Jack Fritz special. Seriously, like, how many years of this pod, anyone who's listened to this pod for a long time knows that Jack has long had the belief and been proven right over and over and over again that it's hard for these guys to come into a big spot, get big outs, and then go sit on the bench and then come back out. Like, you just don't have the same juice. And you know, we've seen it over and over and over again. You can even broaden it out. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he had a magic touch last year until Game 6 of the World Series. Topper has been horrendous to start. I mean, again, it's not all on him. Players got to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
But like last year, where it felt like every decision he made until Game 6 of the World Series would go the right way, it feels like every decision he's making is going the wrong way.
And the tough part is that I do feel like they're mostly rooted in logic, you know, for the most part. I think they're there. Players do have to make plays, but at the same time, you have to put them in positions to make plays.
Yep.
Like, for me yesterday, what annoyed me was that I think they managed fearful of Arise. And he batted second that inning, and they said, okay, so he'll get Soler, and then we want a lefty versus Arise. And in my, how I believe, is like, you got to get out number one. And Sir Anthony gives you the best chance to get out number one there. I mean, Soler's crushed lefties throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, crushes. I mean, he's still 240. But, like, better, you know, power numbers, slug and all that stuff. So what gives you the best chance to get out number one?
Yep.
Is obviously Sir Anthony versus yep. Jorge Soler.
Especially in a one-run baseball game.
In a one-run baseball game.
We're not talking about having a cushion here.
No.
You know?
And I know Sir Anthony's been up and down. I thought he actually looked better yesterday. It was finally like, good to see you, Sir Anthony. Like, welcome to the season. But, you know, you got to have your trust in one of your back-end options there. And I thought that was annoying. And then
if you're going to bring Soto back out and he strikes a dude out, leave him in there. Like, what were we doing going to Kimbrel there? Soto looked awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they were swinging and missing by, like, a foot on some of those sliders. I mean, like, I just don't get the decision-making. And that's not even talking about the lineup stuff he's been doing. You score 15 runs with Bryson Stott at the top of the lineup, and then you move him to eighth the next night? Like, I know you're facing a lefty, but we talked about it, but the commitment to the righty-lefty thing and all this stuff, it just... he has not had a feel. And I know that, again, players have let him down, but it feels like the touch he had last year, it's gone the complete opposite way.
Well, and the Bohm thing is driving me even more.
Why was he batting seventh? What are we, Josh Harrison is bat? What is that, Jack? What is that? And JT should not be batting in front of Bohm. Nick Castellanos should not. And Castellanos, at least you can argue he's played well, but like JT's batting 180 or whatever. Why is he in the five hole instead of Bohm? Like, none of it makes sense.
Well, I would flip Bohm and JT today.
I mean, done it the other night.
At this point, like, JT has come up in so many spots where it's like, this is a chance to break through and get some RBIs, and it's like...
One time, he had the one homer against the Reds, and that's it.
So, you know, and like, it feels like we go through this with JT where he just gets, like, unclutched for a month stretch. And
he usually is the start. Remember last year, the start of the season, going to that Toronto series, he made those dumb comments, we're all crushing him, and then from that point on, he was awesome.
Best player in baseball.
But he sucked until then. He sucked.
Yeah. So, like, the lineup thing has been annoying, you know, and I think that Stott continuing to prove that he can hit and hit major league pitching.
He might win a batting title someday, that dude. Well, like, he's that good a hitter.
As long as...
I mean, that hit, and I know the rounding was... Rounding first base was a real dumb rookie mistake from him. But getting a hit in that spot against Lizardo, I mean, what more do you need to see from this kid?
Well, I need the big hit yesterday, too.
I mean, it's just consistent.
I mean, as long as Luis Arraez is not in the NL, he has a chance to compete for a batting title.
Yeah, Luis Arraez is going to bat over 500
this year. It's just like, it's refreshing to see, in a way. Just like,
I love him.
A guy just goes and hits.
If we didn't have to play against him, I love the guy.
Well, we don't have to play them against him as much this year.
That's true.
So that's a big step forward. But yeah, like, Stott, I think he's continuing to prove that he should be the top of the lineup. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I like Trey Turner. I think he's been great. I think he's been pretty good so far.
Good.
I need the power to start coming because I keep
and
betting his
impact.
Home runs.
Like, he's not like he's been really good, batting like 320, or whatever. You know, the steals, all that stuff. The defense has been great, but it feels like the big spots he's been in, he's yet to come through.
Well, and what annoys me with him at the leadoff spot is it's just like he swings first pitch all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just let the game breathe a little bit.
And now he's in the middle line, but Schwarber's been doing it all year too.
Yeah. Well,
like, Schwarber has just been going up there. And like, remember going into the season, Schwarber was like, oh, shift. I'm gonna play for the shift. I'm gonna get some hits. I'm gonna put the ball in play. Like, he's swinging for a home run every single pitch he sees. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the Kyle Schwarber experience.
I know, but like, you know, it's a little frustrating when he's not popping him out all the time.
And it's not June yet. You know, he's a slow starter.
Trust me, we know.
He's a slow starter.
Yeah, we know.
So yeah, the lineup stuff's annoying. I think there's some things that, like, just see if it works. Like, it's early in the season.
Just try something.
Maybe it gets on a little bit of a roll here, and you can, you know, the most interesting part about the offense right now is that they get a ton of hits. Like, I think they have a ton of hits. I think they're the highest batting average in the NL right now.
Unbelievable.
But again, yesterday, 2 of 12 runners in scoring position.
Yeah, the first inning, first and third, no outs, zero runs. And that happens way too often with this team.
And 15-3 is gonna like make it lopsided here for a little
bit. Well, we needed it to even out the 16-3 in Texas for a run differential thing. We're still, you know, negative, obviously, but that was a big one. But the idea that you've been struggling offensively and then you go out and put up a 15 spot with a lineup, like, how do you change it the next day? Like, at a certain point, find a lineup that works and stick with it. You know, I understand and I'm down to try stuff, but again, the idea that Bryson Stott leads off, you put up a 15 spot. I know you're facing a tough lefty. He's 8 hole in the lineup. Like, that's bad managing to me. That's bad managing.
Well, you know that, I mean, not every game they're going to score 15. I mean, like...
Of course not. I expected them to get shut out after the 15 spot, but not because they changed the freaking lineup afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, obviously, what they value the most is
matchups and righty-lefty.
Matchups.
Like, it is what it is.
And also, like, how guys' swing paths line up with...
Great.
Whatever pitchers.
That's exactly what I want to value in this spot.
But, like...
Yeah. That's awesome.
To me...
You know, it's good. It's a good swing pass matchup for us. Let's make sure we move him up in the lineup.
To me, it's overthinking and a little bit overthinking. I don't want to, you know, break any news here. Smells a little bit like overthinking.
Yeah,
it's okay. Like, just... Again, and this is, you know, this, I feel like we're back in, like, Gabe discussions, but, like, no one liked Gabe.
I know.
Where it's just like...
It is Gabe-y. You're right.
Let it go.
Just roll out.
See what happens.
Yeah, just roll out a
lineup. Believe it or not, they've played baseball for a long time without any of this. Yeah. You know,
how about
stuff.
2 days in a row, give me the same lineup?
Just see if it works.
Maybe the day after you score 15 runs. I don't know.
Just see if it works. Also, like, on Rob Thompson, because he's no longer Topper at the time.
Oh, I like this.
Well,
I like. Should we go back to Tomper, or are you just so devastated by that loss that you took?
It wasn't a loss. I'm still right about it. but... the thing with Rob Thompson now, and he said yesterday, you know, it's the 10th inning and runner on second base, it's Christian Pache up or whatever.
I couldn't believe it. Like, what are you doing? How are you not bunting him there? Like, what are you doing there?
Well, and then he said after the game, well, I want to
go. We wanted to win the game.
I want to go for the win there.
What are you talking about, dude? It's Christian Pache. Like, freaking bunting. That was the most, like, that might have been.
You've long been a small ball guy.
You know me, always. Seriously, though, like, you got a guy who can't hit. He can't hit. Like, that was the most obvious bun him over situation I remember in a regular season game in a while where they didn't do it. It was so obvious. Like, it's, what are you doing?
Right. And the idea of, like, well, we're going for the win there. It's like, well, how about we tie it up first?
Dude, you're 4-7, all right? Like, tie the game. Live to play another day.
Right. Right, and I know they were
down. You know how you can't win if you don't tie the game first. It's just a fact.
I know you're down bullpen pitchers. Like, I mean, they're down. Like, Kimbrel, they probably don't want to use there, but they had to. Actually, I don't know.
Did he have to? Because he could have left Soto in.
Could have left Soto.
I feel very confident that Soto in that spot could have done a better job.
Now everyone's in on Soto.
We've never left for what it's worth. But he looked nasty, right? I mean, he did. Like, he looked awesome. It's like. It's just frustrating.
I know.
It's frustrating. This team should not be 4-8 right now, and they're 4-8.
Well, and the thing that's tough right now is, one, feels a lot like the beginning of last year.
It does.
Where it's
it
like,
feels eerily similar.
You know what? They lost yesterday, and I was like, this feels right.
I know.
Like this.
Well, it's even the same complaint. Like, I hate to do it, but like the Girardi stuff,
of course.
The lineups changing every day, the weird bullpen usage, like, it's all the same stuff.
It's all Girardi-ish. Although Girardi.
Girardi's a dick about it, so that makes it a little less, you know?
Well, Girardi, and he would never use relievers for multiple innings.
Right.
And my thing right now is, like, Rob, I appreciate the idea in a way here, but at the same time, it is April.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is the second week. Do we really need to push Alvarado because he's, like, the one guy that we totally trust right now?
Yeah.
But, you know, so far early in the season, I mean, they have found, like, they've continued to find ways to lose games rather than find ways to win games. And that's been the separation of a good team versus a bad team. Because baseball, like, a lot of games come down to, most games are coin flips. You know, they're very rare to see the 15 to 30.
Yeah, what's the saying? You're gonna win a quarter of games, you're gonna lose a quarter of games, you're gonna win a third of your games, you're gonna lose a third of your games. It's what you do in the other third that makes a good team a great team, a bad team.
Right. And right now, like, they're just, it's every facet of the team. Besides, like, actually, it's funny. The defense has been fine.
Yeah,
even Cass should have caught the ball
that
the other
one.
Night.
Yeah, but other than that, like, and Marsh missing that one in New York. I mean,
yeah.
A couple moments, but, I mean, comparatively, you're right. The defense has not been an issue.
By the way, another Castellanos assist yesterday. Just saying. We signed him for his defense and his on-base percentage, and it's good to see they're finally getting their money's worth.
That's exactly right.
No, but, like, every facet has been, like, just not there. Early in the season, whether it's one guy in the bullpen who feels like they let them down every single night.
Yep.
Starters not going deep into games. Mm-hmm. Manager just not having a feel yet for the team. Offense not scoring the runners, scoring position, getting runners on base, this, that, whatever. And then the dumb base.
And then
There's that's five things that they're trying to overcome at one time. Now, I think.
And again, to the point you made before that we made last time, that five things you're trying to overcome when you can't have any of those type of things happening, when you're without Harper, with you out with Rhys Hoskins, you're without Hall, like you got to be playing tight, smart baseball to make up for those losses.
Now, what is still giving me hope, obviously, because they're 4-8 and it's April, is that I feel like a lot of it's correctable. Like, I continue to believe that the guys down the bullpen are talented enough to figure it out. I don't believe that in Craig Kimbrell.
Which we never did.
But I will say, I was back to 96 yesterday and was fine.
Sure.
Besides the, you know,
game-winning hit. Yeah. It's totally good.
I think that as Boehm hopefully gets higher to the top of the lineup, I think the runners scoring position thing will get better. They've never been that good at it. Like, there was times last year where it was like, this is the same kind of conversation was happening where they weren't good. But we also know that, you know, it seems like MV3 is on his way back.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Sooner than, I mean, Rob Thompson on the morning show yesterday said he actually has a date. He said he wasn't going to tell us, but he has an actual date. Like, to know in your mind, if you're Rob Thompson, the day that Bryce Harper will be back, that means it ain't that far away. All right? He's not predicting a month out from now. Like Harper's going to be back way sooner than anyone ever expected.
And I think so. And I agree with you. And before I finish my last point, quick on the Bryce.
First base?
Well, first base, but also, like, I know there's this fear of rushing him back.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, first off, his agent's got Boris.
Yeah, there's no chance Boris is, like, letting... Absolutely.
And second off, like, he has to be cleared by doctors.
Yeah.
So it's not like they can hold him and say, you have to pass him.
He's or either you're cleared or he's not, right?
He's cleared.
He is either cleared to play baseball or he's not.
Cleared
and
to
guess
slide.
What? He's not going to play baseball until the doctors say you're cleared to play in a major league game. But guess what? If the doctors say he's cleared, that means he's cleared. That means he can play. I'm
right.
So with you. It's no offense to anyone out there saying it. I think it's one of the dumber narratives we've got.
Like, and I know there's this fear of like what happened with Carson, but Carson was trying to force his way back in the field.
And it's a totally different thing. Carson had a torn ACL or broken back the 1 year, torn ACL the year before, and this is as a quarterback playing a contact sport.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Yeah, especially because he had the you know, you and everyone else trying to run him out of town. So he was just trying to.
See, at that point, I loved Carson.
I know. It's very funny how you talk about him now. See, some of us don't forget.
He's the worst.
No.
He stunk.
Yeah,
lost it.
We just disrespect the guy that
I can't believe you're still trying to defend Carson. That is
bring
like
the team a Super Bowl.
Yep. Thank God for Nick Foles. That's all I'll say.
Helped bring the team.
Because if Carson played in that game, they probably would have lost.
Well, you don't know that.
You know why? Dude's small time.
Well,
not a big time player.
Not at that point.
Not like Nick Foles.
Oh yeah, he's started 16 games so many times.
Prime
in his career.
Time. Hey, he doesn't need to start 16. Just when it matters most.
Right.
Put him out there, and you're gonna win.
But with Bryce. You know, like, I'm just not worried. Like, when he's cleared, the doctors have to clear him. They can't just, like, say, your elbow's not
You know, it could
get
explode.
Back out there.
Your elbow could explode if you slide, but you know what? Go for it.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it. So, like, Bryce is on his way back, and we'll get into the first thing, I'm sure, a little bit later. But, like, the Bryce should help with the runner scoring position thing. The down base running, I just think that they're going to, like, this can't possibly.
If it happens all year, I mean, set a record.
Just quit. Just fold the franchise. Yeah. So I'm not there. The starting thing is interesting to me. Like, of all the pieces, right, I think the lineup can figure it out. I think base running's going to figure it out. I think the bullpen's talented enough to figure it out. Rob Thompson, like, I still trust him. Mm-hmm. I still trust Rob Thompson.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's made some frustrating moves. I think he's smart. Yeah. I think he has a good pulse down there. And I think when he gets a better feel for this team, I think they'll go on a bit of a run.
Look, this is his first season, first spring training as a manager, first like beginning of a season as a manager. I'll give him a chance to figure it out. You know,
but the starting staff thing, you know, Nola's worrying me. I'm not slamming down the panic button, but the slowest start to his career.
Mm-hmm.
We know he has the ability to get on runs here and go on a run for a month where it's like five quality starts,
mm-hmm.
and he'll do that. And I still think that's in there. Beginning of the season has been frustrating. Wheeler, yesterday was a positive step forward. You know, like, he was 96 in the sixth, and I think that's important. But it still hasn't looked as, like,
dominant.
There's Zach Wheeler.
He does not look like Zach Wheeler yet.
And then, you know, we'll see with Ranger.
He had a three-walk inning yesterday.
Yes, first time since, like,
2021, I want to say, something like that. It was about a year and a half or a little before that.
Ranger's obviously on his way back. Hopefully that he's fine, and hopefully the rubber arm thing comes back and he's back to, like, I think Ranger with the pitch clock is just going to be
awesome.
He's like, he's just gonna get the ball, go strike,
bang, bang, ready to go. Yeah. Like, he's gonna get the ball and be staring at him like, you ready, batter?
Let's go. Well, and I don't know if you can bet on this, but if I could bet length of games when Ranger's pitching, I feel like he's gonna mix in an hour and 45er.
Bro, like, the length of game, the pitch clock is a revelation. It is unbelievable how fast these games are. I mean, that was an extra inning game last night. It was over in like 2.5 hours or whatever it was.
I wonder.
The 18-run game was 2 hours and 29 minutes.
Yeah, I wonder if in the building, it's going a little fast. Like, I think at home it's great. I wonder if in the building it's like, well, hold on. Like,
well, yeah, I think you're going to get like a hot dog or something. You get back in your seat, it's like, oh, I missed an inning. How'd
well,
that
especially
happen?
When there's like 58,000 hot dogs.
Well, that's a different. Yeah, a dollar dog night, you're just screwed. You're just not going to get them. No, and that's like, I'm not. Look, it is what it is. I think people will adjust. I've said this before. My only concern is once we get to the playoffs, I think then. Where you want that drama, you want those moments of stepping off and the battle and the whole thing, then I think we might be like, oh, maybe go back to what we did before. So far for the regular season, I 100%.
And I know it's like really tough to tell guys, like, we're doing this all year and then we're going to take it away in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. They do that in other sports.
Yeah, I mean, well, but not with...
Not to the same level.
There's a shot clock. You know, the shot clock doesn't go
away. Oh, yeah. I was thinking like overtime rules change and stuff like that.
I mean, like the ghost runner on second... Even though Scott Fransky's right, it should be a zombie runner.
I agree. It's absolute. Though I've always thought that. I thought that was the correct thing. The thing I don't get about that is that the whole point of that was to speed up the game. Like, kind of good there now. Probably don't need it anymore.
Well, but it goes away in the postseason.
Yes.
So
it does, exactly.
So I wonder if they'd consider getting rid of the pitch clock in the postseason.
I don't think they'll do it this year, but I think if there's
a disaster.
Yeah, a lot of complaints, or, you know, it's like, wow, that was not right. Well, that doesn't feel good.
The funniest part about the pace of play conversation or whatever is that no one cares when the playoffs start.
Nope.
Like, there wasn't one conversation last year. Oh, baseball's
that
boring.
That game really should have been real quick.
I wish that game was over faster.
No.
Everyone,
we loved it. Yeah. Like, give me more. I can't believe the game's over. I want another one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's the funniest thing with these old, like, you know, oh, baseball's dead, baseball's boring. It's like, well, in the postseason, no one cares about the pace of play. They just want to see more. But, you know, Ranger comes back. Hopefully that helps. Strom goes back to the bullpen. I think that helps Strom. Falter, you know, fine.
It's fine.
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 And then Tom Walker, again, his last start was so just not what I thought we were getting, so I'm not going to, like, freak out. But, like, you know, if Wheeler and Nola don't give you the length that they can right now, that's worrisome. And those are the two guys that we headed into the year saying they pitched a ton of innings last year.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be able to bounce back and prove they can do it again? And it's, you know, through three turns through the rotation, like, only Wheeler's pitching to the sixth, thus creating a ton of tax on your bullpen, which hurts you there. So... I think the four other aspects that are killing them right now will figure it out. The starting staff's the one where I'm like, might need some help there.
Yeah. Well, and look, they might. They certainly might. And I think it's a really fair thing to bring up, especially, again, with a bullpen that, you know, you're going to tax these guys early. You're going to struggle late. They're going to need help there late if they use these guys as much as they've had to use them early. And look, with Wheeler and Nola, that I think that's a not just a concern in terms of the effect on the bullpen, but I think it's a valid concern, again, like we talked about, coming off the year last year. Like, it's something that we were worried about coming in. It's why you talked about a 6-man rotation. You know, it's that this is a concern. Like, these guys pitch way deeper into the season than they normally do. And look, without Wheeler and Nola being good at the top, this team's screwed. You know, like, they need those two guys to carry the staff.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing that could help a lot is obviously whenever Andrew Painter gets back.
Obviously.
Like, if he can just, and I know there's this idea that, oh, they're just going to sit him for the year. I don't think so.
Why would they?
Like,
if he can pitch again, he's going to pitch again.
So he started throwing last week. And let's say we get into July and we get into around the trade deadline time or even after, and they want to do what they did last year with let's maybe, you know, come up with an injury for Ranger or an injury for Wheeler, mm-hmm. injury for Nola. You know, Andrew Painter's presence should only help, like, facilitate that to where it's not, you're falling off the cliff. Now, got to start winning ball games before he can start worrying about like, hey, let's shut our starters down, you know, in the middle of a division slash, you know, wild card chase. But
it's an important component.
Yeah, yeah. Believe it or not, it's important to win games.
Yes.
And I think Painter's emergence back into that should only help.
Yeah, totally, totally agree. And obviously, if we see Painter that year, that would be, I think we will too.
Yeah.
I think, again, we need to make sure his arm's okay and all that. But all right, let's get to the first base thing.
Did you see that one coming?
No. Not at all. But again, I'm not that shocked in the sense that it is less strain on the arm if he's going to try and play a position this year. It would make sense that first is a less taxing thing for his arm to do with the new, you know, surgically repaired elbow and all that stuff. And look, I mean, Harper was a catcher, you know, to start his career, has moved to the outfield. I'm not that shocked that he would be willing to do it. The guy loves baseball. The guy's obsessed with whatever. And I do think, look, it makes a lot of sense for this team. It gives you a lot more freedom. Because, again, I don't think that the arm, and Dombrowski even said it when we met with him down in Clearwater, he's like, Harper's not going to play right field this year. You know, that, or we're not concerned about him playing right field this year. Is it realistic to you, the first base thing? Because, again, I get it. He's not going to have to throw 100 feet on a rope, and that is more taxing on the arm. But like, there's still throws you have to make. Like, if you're getting a long cutoff down the right field line, you got to throw home. Like, that's still a hard throw. So like, I'm still a little dubious.
Now, it's pretty easy to control. It's easier, I think, to control. Like, now, obviously, if it's a big game, it's a postseason game. Like, he's gonna have to make that throw.
Yeah,
but I think in the regular season, they can be like,
they'd be like, have the second baseman do it, like kind of change your cutoff routine, so to speak.
Right.
You're right.
Now,
he's gonna have to throw to second base on double play balls, stuff like that, throw across the diamond every once in a while, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, even though, like, it's a shame. The first to third throw is pretty much out. It doesn't feel like,
I know, it never happens. You're right. That's a good point. You really never see, you're right. It
never
is
happens.
A shame. It never happens.
But the one part that no one's really brought up is, you know, first off, like, Reese got hurt last year, or hurt a couple years ago, on a guy running into his elbow on a bad throw that opened up his elbow
extended.
To getting
So,
and that's right on the elbow.
Yep.
So that's concerning for me.
No doubt.
Might be more than the throwing, but at the same time, not his throwing elbow. So
yeah, so it'd be on the glove hand, but still it's a dangerous spot to be in. Yeah.
Right. The tagging should be fine. That won't be a concern. The interesting part about this is that the Yankees were thinking about signing him to play first base. Like, remember during that,
of course,
that whole
offseason?
They
wanted him to be a first baseman.
Right, because they had Scrub, Aaron Hicks in center field.
Oh, yeah.
I think, and then they had Stanton and
Judge
and
sure.
Guardy,
I think. Oh, yeah, you're right about this. Now I remember. Yeah.
They had Guardy, and they had Stanton, they had Judge, they had Aaron Hicks. And they were like, we'll still sign him to possibly play first base. So the Nationals tried it a couple years ago, too. Like, there was,
he's played like one inning of first base in his career.
Listen. That's my first baseman.
One
inning. That's my first baseman.
Look, it really would help the team. I mean, opening up the DH and letting it move around and having Harper play the field would help this team this year, without a doubt.
Yeah, and honestly helps them going forward, because if they're going to let Reese go and Bryce can play first.
Oh, my God. It opens up from a team-building perspective.
And you can go sign an
outfielder.
You've drafted outfielders. They can play there.
I mean, Justin Crawford down the road.
Yeah.
I mean, all that stuff.
We'll see.
Not a fan.
We'll see.
You were in when the pick happens.
Yeah,
so.
We'll see. no, and just crush it. Not to make this into a draft thing, but like, Spencer Jones has gotten off to an unbelievable start. It's just like, he's right there. You know, like, these guys are right there. What are we doing? Anyway.
Barber.
Trust Brian Barber. Anyway.
For pitchers.
So, yeah, definitely. but Harbor at first base, like, you know, it makes
a lot of sense.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. And It does help him length his career. Like, rather than having to play right field at 38 or whatever,
yeah,
having
no.
to run around out
or
there.
Or DH or whatever.
Right, but if he plays first base, obviously it's not easy, but it's much less taxing on your body than running around the outfield. So I think that's massive.
And he's a solid right fielder. He's not like a great right fielder. It's not like he's an elite one. He's good.
He's gotten
there. He's good. He's good. Let's say he's good. I wouldn't say he's great. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. He doesn't have as many outfield assists as Cassidy, but
who does?
No one. But with Harper at first base, you know, being a catcher does help.
I think it does. I agree with you.
The funniest part is, like, I don't even know if he's a good catcher. Like, I know he played catcher.
I don't think he was.
Hosed the second base.
Let's put it this way. They moved him, and I know it's for career reasons, but they moved him off catcher real quick.
But I will say, it's a similar pick. So, like, when you're talking about picking
That's a good point. Sure.
So it's not like, It's not like a massive change.
Where you're
it's
kinda...
not like, for, let's put it this way. It's not like they're teaching an outfielder how to play first base.
Yeah.
Like he has similar hand movements when you look at the pick, a pitch in the dirt versus, versus picking that. So
That's a really interesting thought. I would not have thought of that.
He's an athletic guy. He would have the ability to do it.
He's obsessed with baseball.
I think he'll be smart enough. And I think that I think it's smart. And I didn't see it coming. I didn't think about it. But now that it's here, it's like, I see it.
Yeah,
it makes
I do
a lot.
Too.
It makes sense.
I'm all for it. I fully support it. Again, and for long term, I think it's an absolute no brainer. It should be the plan for the team. Like, do it, done. This year, I'm just dubious. And I guess, look, who knows? I mean, Bryce Harper seems like he's, you know, we joked about it with the Jalen Hurts thing, where like Sirianni was like, oh, he's different. He just heals different, and he didn't, right? It still took like 6 weeks or whatever it was. Bryce Harper might be. Like, it seems like Bryce Harper might actually be built differently than us. Came back super quick last year from the broken hand, like, quicker than people expected. This, I mean, if he comes back when people are talking about him, I mean, this is like an all-time, like, they're going to tell this in, like, textbooks. Like, oh, this is how you can get back from an ACL reconstruction. Like this. I mean, not ACL. Tommy John. UCL.
And talking about being, you know, different than everyone. I mean, he took 95 off the face.
I know.
And like,
great point. It was back like a week later.
Didn't
no
break
problem.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's just, he's built different.
Built different.
R.I.P. your grandma, I'm built different.
I don't know what that's from.
That's, isn't that the big meme?
No.
Never seen that? You're the Twitter guy. Yeah, I said that because I thought you would know it.
Yeah, big old swing and a miss.
Someone knows.
Someone 100% knows.
Yeah,
if
there's
you know
a meme. If I know
if you know it, someone else there knows.
R.I.P. your grandma, but I'm built different.
Okay.
Let us know if you know that. I want to see how few people know it. I mean, when I'm shouting at memes, it's probably not a good thing anyway.
Yeah, it's probably old.
Yeah, it's probably an old person.
Yeah, it's right. You're probably still doing Facebook memes.
I don't do Facebook, but yeah, same idea. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're excited to face Nick Lodolo again?
No, dude, no. I never want to. He was good against us last year.
Yes,
yeah, like Lodolo just owns the Phils, man.
Yeah.
Something about that dude.
I don't know what, well.
Yeah, he's nasty.
He is.
He was part of it, but. I like how you segued there to the Reds. Are you excited to preview the Reds series?
I don't like having to face the Reds again. Like, can we spread out my Reds series?
Dude, we just sat down the air today. It's like, what are we doing here?
We just played them.
Like, this is it, right? We're not playing them again. It's like all the Reds games now.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, so it's fine. It's just like, it's weird to play. Like, in the balanced schedule era.
Yeah, it's like you would think, you know, take some time.
Yeah. Spread out the Red series, you know?
I want to see Graham Ashcraft later in the season when he's really figuring it out.
Right? Well, he's still pretty good.
I know, I was joking.
I know, that's not very fun. But they avoid Hunter Green. Hunter Green struck out like 10 and 5 last night against the Braves.
So good.
They avoid Hunter Green, thank God.
Okay.
So they're facing two scrubs and two good ones.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the Reds avoid Zach Wheeler, so I guess it all kind of evens out.
Okay, well, I don't care about the Reds. How about that?
That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm with you on the Harper thing. I just need to see him be able to throw to make sure this is going to work out.
How about this? I just want to see him play baseball again.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I don't really first base, whatever,
just DH,
whatever.
Just go and hit.
Just want to see him again.
I honestly desperately need to see him right now. This is where I'm at. I desperately need to see Bryce Harper play baseball.
Again, I don't know if it's a big take. You know, you can determine that.
Oh, good.
Right? I know it's a big take.
Yeah.
I miss him.
Like, it's a big take. It's a big deal.
I really miss him.
Yeah.
I could use Bryce Harper being back. Because, like, I laid it out on Final Out the other night, but, like, the lineup is just stupid at that point. Like, if you stick with the Stott at leadoff thing, which you should. But you go Stott, Turner, Harper, Boehm, I think.
I mean, it would be, but no, it'll be Castellanos.
Boehm or bounce back Cassie.
It'll be Cassie, JT.
No.
Some lefty, Boehm and 7. That's what he's going to do because he's like a zealot about this righty lefty thing.
Well, he did move Stott up to lead off in like a week
did.
And a half into the season.
Yeah, with Trey Turner batting second and Schwarber batting third.
Let's
and
let
Castellanos,
Tomper cook a little
and
bit.
JT, then a lefty, or Marsh in the 6-0 because he's a lefty, and then. You know, Boehm and 7.
Well, what are you going to say when this all turns around?
The Phils
are
in
first place.
Look, you're right.
He
did put Stott in the leadoff hole, and that was a big...
I was shocked.
Me too.
Legitimately, I was like, wow.
And I was shocked he was in the 8-hole the next night. So,
as was I.
Yeah, I need to see him, you know, where he says, like, real quick, like, can we just take a second? I know we joked about it before, but, like, Bryson Stott is a way better hitter than I expected him to be at this point in his career. Like, we have always been a very pro Bryson Stott podcast. Like, we've always liked him. We were excited about him. We were really excited about him last year when he got on that run after June and really started to, you know, we've always just loved the bats, the how he steps in the box and he's like a tough out every time he's in there. Like, he's going to battle. Like, he gets into an 0-2 count and it's 3-2 before you know it. Like, and he fouled three balls off in the, like, he's just, from last year, this year, like, I was joking a little bit before, but he looks like the type of hitter who could win a batting title someday.
Hold
like,
on. Why would you joke about
that? Dude, that's right. I'm not joking. But, like, how is he this good? Like, how is he this good a hitter right now?
Well, going the two-strike approach for an entire at-bat is smart, I think. But obviously it comes down to, like, you know, freakish hand-eye coordination and, like,
an amazing
eye. So funny,
and an amazing eye.
What's so funny, there's, like, multiple times when he's facing, like, 95-plus. Like, it'll be in the strike zone, and he just fouls it off.
Yeah.
Like,
it's almost like he can foul off whatever he wants. Needs to.
Well, you know? And I believe this was two nights ago. I think I saw the stat. But he had swung and missed at one pitch in the strike zone.
Well, it was zero. He was one of seven dudes who, like, I think it was like 3 or 4 days ago. He was one of seven dudes who had yet to swing and miss at a pitch in the strike zone.
Yeah, it's stupid. I mean, him and Arise are
guess who else was on the list? It's like Arise, Stephen Kwan. Like, the list was exactly the guys you would expect.
And you know, those guys have been phased out for some reason. Yeah. Those guys matter. Like,
big time. Those are winning baseball players.
Winning baseball players. And I just think that he's only continued to develop into a guy that, you know, I think is going to be loved here.
Absolutely. I mean, him and Bohm, like, really.
And Marshy.
And Marshy, you're right. Marshy's been great, but just in terms of, like, the two guys who came up through the system I'm talking about and have come up, like, man, they both look like big-time hits. Like, they both look like they can be two of your five best players for the next decade or whatever it ends up being, like, you know, eight
Hunter?
Years. I mean, but the development, you know? No, development. They got developed, all right? They were the obvious picks in this. Huh?
Yeah.
I've been really impressed with how much of it. We talked a lot about the Bohm leap and expected it. I've been super impressed with it. I've been really impressed with the Stott leap.
Well, but what's funny is that, well, to be batting 424, I did not expect from Bryson.
424, yeah.
But I sort
yeah,
of.
He's hitting every. He's got a 12 game hit streak to start the season. Every single game this season, he's got a hit in.
And nine multi hit games, which is also.
Like, what
absurd.
Are we doing here?
But I expected Stott to.
And then you look at Arise batting like 530. And you're like, well, I guess. You know.
But, like, I expected Stott to be pretty good this year. Yeah. I expected him to continue to develop.
We were excited about him.
The Bohm breakout, like, I looked at his swing, I looked at his strength, and I was like, there it is. Marsh being this good, I think, is, like, it's a little shocking to me. Mm-hmm. Like, at least I would have signed up for 250 and 15 home runs from Brandon Marsh, like, pretty easily, because I think his defense, like, he was chasing down some balls yesterday.
Dude, that one, like, I was like, there's no way he's getting to this. Which one was it? The late one, right up against the wall. Like, that was
against Soto,
when he tapped the wall after. Yeah. Like, I was like, there's no way this guy's getting to this. And he got to it.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I love him. But I'm not even worried when he's up anymore.
I'm excited. I look forward to him coming to the plate. I mean, he's batting 3-something too. And he's been hitting lefties.
I know. Well, you know, if only we could just let him.
What a thought.
See if we could.
I guess he might be 25 now, but your 24-year-old, 25-year-old center fielder that you traded your top prospect
who
for.
Who is,
at the
by
time,
the way.
Been awesome. I own him in fantasy. Logan O'Hoppe. Might be a better hitter than JT right now.
Thank God Brandon Marsh can play.
Thank God. Yeah, exactly. Because that'd be a tough one.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because he could be at first base or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He could be. I didn't think about
that.
Yeah,
no. It's been tough.
Yeah, thank God. Because Marsh has been great. And I'm really, you know, I'm excited about him. And again, real credit to this. I mean, Kevin Long and the Phillies developmental staff when it comes to hitting a baseball, like, these guys deserve a ton of credit.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of credit. Because, I mean, just these three guys alone, just Bohm, Stott, Marsh, what we've seen from last year to this year alone has been super impressive.
Well, it's part of the reason why I still feel really confident in the team is that you're getting those guys breaking out at the same time. And then once Harper's back in, like.
Once JT starts hitting, all these type of things.
They're going to go, like, the run is
Schwarber.
Coming.
Schwarber's going to hit. Don't worry.
Like, the Phillies run is coming. Like, there's too much talent. I believe in a ton of the bullpen. The starters, I hope, are gonna figure it out, and I think they will. But they're gonna be fine. Like I wouldn't be shocked if we wake up a month from now and they're like four games over 500.
I agree with you.
And Bryce is like 2 weeks away from coming back.
I'm not freaking out. I agree with you. It's more frustrating.
Well, yeah. Well, because we had such high hopes. I mean,
no pun intended.
Well, like we're taking calls about Dusty Wathen. Like people are all in on this team, and and I tell you what, man. No fan base goes quicker from like this guy's the greatest.
Oh,
to, like,
we're the kings
over.
Of it.
I mean,
kings.
Holy cow! And like every Noel's a three. Like he was fourth in Zion last year. Like, can we calm down?
And like, Noel 8 is unbelievable.
Well, Noel's frustrating. Like I don't know why it's so hard to just say he's very good and you don't trust him.
Yeah,
like that's what he is. Yeah. I mean, it was again the other night where it's just like, you know, the snowball starts happening and then he can't stop it. And
Aaron,
it's like
Nola is a dude you want on your team. He is a great piece of a team. He will help you win games. You just don't want him pitching in the biggest spot of the season.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We love Nola.
You know what? There's a lot of guys like that. A lot of guys like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Just like, it's just every loss is like season's over. Like,
I know.
It's
We're 12 games into the season.
There's frustrating points. Look at some of the positives. And over a 162-game season, the positives largely outweigh the negatives.
I agree. All right. Take back time.
Obviously, I'm leading my take back with Orion Kerkering.
Obviously,
it's the right thing to do.
So let me just ask a quick question. Who is that?
He is the future of this bullpen.
Okay, good.
He is.
Never heard of him.
He is stupid. Yeah. I'm just like he. They drafted him last year out of South Florida.
Okay.
I'm
a big South Florida reliever guy, so
yeah, I'm like, sure you are.
Yeah, the history is impressive.
Yes. I sat down Saturday morning before the Masters came on, and I watched Brooks Koepka ruin my life.
Was it 44-1 odds you had? 45-1?
10-1, 450.
Yeah.
And this freaking guy,
that's tough.
He's all over the golf course.
That's a tough beat right now.
Dude,
yeah.
He went from 4 strokes up to 4 strokes down.
Yep. Maybe I'll take that live money, buddy.
Anyway. But before I started watching the Masters, me and Walkie were hanging out downstairs.
Walkie.
And,
oh, I love it.
And I was
Walkie.
Like, I was like, oh, Clearwater threw a no-hitter last night. Like, let me go look at some of the pitchers, whatever. Gets to be the eighth inning. And I didn't see an Orion pitch yet. And it's just Schwab, 99. Schwab, 99, right on the corner. Yeah. And then he breaks off this slider. I mean, it was dumb. Like, it was 3,000 plus RPMs. Uh-huh. This thing just freaking fell off the face of the earth. And we're talking about, like, he went right through the inning, no problem, easy, a ton of strikes, easy, repeatable mechanics. And this slider, like, it's stupid. So get him to Reading, and he's already pitched in college, whatever. Like, I need to see him in September. Like, whatever. Like, I guarantee he could get big leaguers out right now.
Love it.
Like, his stuff is, oh, my God. So,
I'm
like,
excited. You, like, just got me excited.
I'll show you the video. I took a video of it. I sent my buddies, and I was like, look at this. Like, it's stupid. Second thing to take back, and again, we are a podcast of bold takes.
Yes.
And only the biggest takes win on the Ohio's podcast.
That's right.
And I just hope that Joe DiMaggio knows that his streak is in jeopardy. Oh, yeah. I hope that he knows that.
Is it, you think a Larissa Rise is actually
No.
Okay, I'm just checking. Got it.
Stotty.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, man. 12 games.
So 12.
Do you think that you think Joe's a little
36, 48. So he's only got to do this, you know, 4.5 more times.
Do you think he's getting nervous?
He's dead.
Well,
so I'm going to say no.
Bit?
I'm going to say, is his corpse getting nervous? A little bit, maybe.
Leading up a little bit.
yes.
They didn't freeze his head like they froze 10
No,
lines,
that was
right?
The only 10 lines, yes.
Okay, good. Good. Yes. But watch out, Joe. It's my official.
It's like, good take.
Yeah, watch out.
Good take.
Stotty's coming.
Yep.
I need to see someone break the hit streak. I think it'd be...
Never going to happen.
It's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen.
Do you really... like? You really
I really believe that.
Okay.
It's the one of all the unbreakable records in baseball. That's the one that I think someone could break.
Well, look, it's not the most unbreakable. Like, no one is getting 512 wins. Like, that is just never going to happen ever again.
Andrew Painter's coming.
It's just not the way this works. Like, there are certain records that literally are
the
unbeatable.
The Ripken streak.
Yes, but like 56 is theoretically possible.
Of the most unbreakable.
It's not happening. Think about it this way.
Well, probably.
I mean, no, but I'm saying, like, think about it this way. 44 is the next highest. No one's gotten above 44. That's 13 more games you got to do to beat it. You got to do a quarter of the 44 streak to get there. The second highest streak. Like, it's just never going to happen. Like, it's so unlikely.
Yeah. Well, you gonna be okay? Oh man, you're gonna be all right. Which has a better chance of happening?
Yes,
because I think both are highly likely.
Yes, highly likely. Oh, good.
Stott hitting over 400 this year, mm-hmm. or the 56 game hitting streak coming.
Shockingly, hitting over 400 is more likely to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna come down to Stott or Arise. So. Yeah.
One of the two is definitely hitting over 400.
It'd be
I mean,
so
Arise
cool.
might hit over 500.
I'll tell you what. It would be awesome for baseball if someone came a little bit close.
Yeah.
Well, listen, J-Roll and Chase had long streaks there for a little
J-Roll at 38, but J-Roll had the nonsense, you know, one season the other. That doesn't count. It doesn't count. Like, that is not the heart of what we're doing. It has to be the same year.
By the way, it would take until, I think, June 10th, and it's April 13th for him to do it.
See, yeah.
That's a lot of baseball. You
weren't old enough for this, but I will say in 94, when Tony Gwynn was batting 390 when they shut down baseball, like, or 394, excuse me, like, that was exciting. Like, as a kid, I was like, I can't believe this dude might bat 400. Like, that is so cool.
Well,
so I'm with you. I want to see it.
And if you went over 162, I believe he did. Like, if you went
if you took the, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Arise is the next win.
He might be, dude.
Well, maybe it's Stotty. Maybe it's Stotty.
Dude, Stotty's such a great hit.
I know. So, DiMaggio, watch out. And my final take in the take bag is that, I mean, Casty's back, dude. I love when he's the triple buttons undone, mm-hmm. and he's like, I love that he got thrown out. Like, I know people are like,
oh, toss, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what we want.
We need some fire.
We need some edgy Casties halfway down third base messing with the pitcher. Like,
I will say, he looks a lot more confident.
100%.
He really does. You know, he's taking pitches. He's hitting the ball with some authority. Like, it doesn't look like he's flailing up there.
Now, he hasn't hit home runs since August
27th. No power. None.
Getting there.
But you know what?
We take doubles.
I'm with you, dude. I like that take. Cassie's back. Officially back.
Now, I will say.
For now.
We have, like, one home run threat in the lineup. So.
Need some pop, buddy.
Need some more pop. Yeah. So.
I don't think Cody Clemens is going to be hitting too many out of the ballpark.
Yeah. Cody Clemens, like, do you think that they saw Cody Clemens go 0-for-5 in the game on Monday and they're like, you know what, Bryce?
Yeah.
You can't play for
Bryce, you're going to have to do this for us, buddy. Let's do this.
Yeah. Come on over.
I like it.
Thank you.
And I think you did a great job today.
Thanks.
I know. You're much better in person now. You, like, look at me the whole time. This is great.
And I didn't even have my headphones on today.
I know.
I think I was a bit thrown off.
You did great.
Thank you.
I was really impressed with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now we need the Phils to turn around.
They're going four straight in Cincinnati and going to come in at 500 pot. We're like, hey, we did it.
Yeah. Well, a month from now, they're going to be four games over 500. So calm down.
Sunday afternoon.
What?
We're coming to you. Check us out.
Oh, we're back on YouTube.
We're going to be doing the YouTube pod Sunday afternoon. If you miss the YouTube pods, miss hanging out, chatting with us while we do the pod. Sunday afternoon after the Phillies game, this thing in your faces.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Back on YouTube.
I can't wait.
Okay, that's
and
good.
I'm excited to see your face on a Sunday, you know?
Maybe
Walk makes an appearance.
Oh.
Hold Walkie up to the camera there.
Yeah. Well, how about this? If they take four, Walkie goes on the camera.
That's a good one. It's a good one. And if Walkie goes on the camera, I will show everyone the video of Zoe that I sent to you from the wedding, which is hilarious.
Okay.
Good deal?
Good deal.
Okay.
Now it's on the Phils.
It's on the Phils. Not on us. All right. Any final thoughts?
Not excited about Nick Lodolo tonight. So
no.
Maybe face him twice in a week. Then.
But you know what? They beat up Alcantara. You know, you never know with this team.
Yeah. Well, they came back against Lizardo.
Yeah.
And then they got thrown out at first base.
I know.
But it helped our Cy Young tickets.
It did. I mean, Alcantara giving up 9 and Lizardo giving up 3
still
and a win.
Still a favorite, by the way, Alcantara after that, which is annoying.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
It'll take some time.
Come on, FanDuel, grow up.
All right. My final thought is join us on Sunday.
Okay.
I got nothing. He's for himself.